is, Nancy.
Morning, everyone. The Senate Education Committee will come to order. Today is Monday, May 4, 2015. It's 8:31. Today we have several confirmations before us. First is the board for the Purpich Center for the Arts, and I believe we have three of the nominees here, and I would ask each of you to please join us at the table. And welcome. We do have your application. Also, members have some background about the center, which we've had a great deal of focus in the past, but we want to welcome you to the committee. And for the tape, please state your name and then proceed with an overview of who you are and key reasons why you're on the board and want to be reappointed. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, good morning. My name is Sue Mackard. I'm executive director of the Purpich Center for Arts Education, and unfortunately, three of our board members, new board members, were not able to be here this morning, so I am here representing them along with our new board member who is here, just so you are aware. And with that, perhaps the new board member can go.
Okay.
Good morning. My name is Michael Neighbors. Thank you. Good morning. My name is Michael Neighbors. I live in Minneapolis. I work for the Minneapolis Foundation downtown in Minneapolis. And I would like to be a board member of the Purpich School of Arts because of all the good work being done by Purpich. The good work of arts in the community and education is very important to me. And I'm very proud to be associated with this fine organization.
Thank you. Mr. Neighbors, any questions from the committee? And we hope to have a quorum soon, but it's not a reflection of interest. Just Monday isn't always the best time, but was the only time we could fit it right now. Let's hear about the other three nominees.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the Purpich Center works very hard to always look at a matrix to try to determine what we need to fill gaps in representatives for the board, and so each individual has their area of expertise. Linda Henning is a new board member, and she was chosen because of her understanding of government relations. She has been a long-term director and employee at the Metropolitan Council and is also the parent of a working artist's daughter. And so her government expertise and knowledge has been very helpful for us. Mr. Thomas Adams was chosen for his work with diverse populations, both in terms of educational programs with charter schools and his interest in health and the full spectrum of being able to provide focus for students of color. Mr. Daly, this is his second term. Mr. Daly was chosen for his experience in management. He comes out of the corporate environment and has quite a bit of experience in planning, in budget. He is serving as our Finance Committee Chair, and we are very, very pleased to have his expertise.
Good. Questions from the committee regarding the other nominees? I had one question for staff. I have two letters here from Governor Dayton, one dated the 2014 and one dated 2013. And I believe there's a cumulative number of six people recommended. We have four listed in on our agenda. How many are we being asked to confirm per the letters from the governor?
The others were
already. Okay, and for the record, that was Ms. Livingston indicating the other two have been confirmed. Other questions, comments? Senator Claussen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Neighbors, I'm just wondering, as a new member of the council, do you have any particular goals or things you'd like to accomplish?
I'd like Purpich to be a self-sustaining organization. I'd like to see more arts within all education systems throughout the Minneapolis and Minnesota area. And I'd like to increase arts funding across the board. That's what I'd like to do.
Okay. Thank you. I think many people would agree with you there. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you very much, Mr. Neighbors, for being here and for your service. When we have a quorum, we would likely entertain a unanimous motion for approval, but we won't be able to act at this point. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Next, we'll go to the Board of School Administrators and ask those nominees that are here to please come forward. Welcome, and please proceed as we did in the previous presentation.
Good morning. Good morning. My name is Janet Moore. I'm the Executive Director of the Board of School Administrators, here to represent those who candidates who are not present for confirmation today, in case there are any questions that you may have.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Robert Meyer. I'm representing the community education directors on the Board of Administrators. I've been on the board for the past 4 years, representing the community education directors. I've been a director for 22 years at the Chautauqua Lake School District and previous years in a couple other districts in Minnesota.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the board. My name is Tracine Asbury. I represent the school board members on the board. I'm a former Minneapolis public school teacher for almost 10 years in North Minneapolis. I also have students in Minneapolis public schools. I'm currently on the school board in Minneapolis, and this is my third year of a four-year term. It's an honor to represent on the Board of School Administrators, and thank you so much for your support.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? I would ask if either of the nominees would like to reflect on key challenges ahead and where you would weigh in on those.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much for this opportunity, Mr. Chair. I would like to say that the Board of School Administrators is very appreciative of the Senator and the Governor's working to possibly increase the funding to do our work. We still struggle, but every increase helps, and we hope that this increase happens. Another issue that we would like to talk about is the principal redesign that the Board of School Administrators has not been able to advance due to insufficient funding. So as you know, that with every great mission and vision requires funding, and we're hoping that the increase happens. Thank you.
Mr. Meyer?
I would agree. Our biggest challenge in the past few years has mainly been funding, and some of that has been addressed last year. We appreciate the funding and the support for that. But as you know, these licensing boards deal with many issues, and with our reduction, or I wouldn't say reduction, our staff time is very limited. And there are many, many issues that we have to deal with. And I appreciate the time that the other board members put in dealing with the issues, dealing with the things that we have to deal with. But it's really been a great support having other members that are really aware and willing to work on these issues. And the support of Jan has been outstanding in the time and the commitment she's put forward.
Great. And if we could get brief overview of the other two nominees.
Absolutely, Senator Wieger. The other two nominees are Jean Haar. She represents our higher education institutions. This is not Jean's first term on the Board of School Administrators. I believe this is her third appointment. Jean is an individual who represents higher ed and has been very, very, very helpful in assisting us with rulemaking over the course of time. You can see her footprint over many of the statutes and the rules that have been written on behalf or for the Board of School Administrators. Her service to the board has been invaluable. The other individual who is also serving and first confirmation this year is Nancy Antone. She is an elementary principal and is representing the elementary principals group. Nancy is currently serving as a principal in Northfield. She brings invaluable experience to us for her representation throughout the state as a principal and also the elementary principals organization. She is president-elect. So she is certainly one who is high regarded within the state and represents the constituents of elementary principals very well.
Excellent. Senator Dahl.
Mr. Chair, and I know Nancy Antwine very well. She's my son's elementary teacher. I worked with her on the task force for the Minnesota teacher licensure, and she would be an excellent confirmation for the Board of School Administrators.
Thank you, Senator Dahl. And I know, Senator Clausen, you probably still have that license.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, I do. Just a word, I really appreciate working with Ms. Moore. We've collaborated on, had many discussions on the principalship, so I greatly appreciate her work and leadership. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Further comments or questions from the committee? Not thank you, and we'll entertain a motion once we have a quorum.
Thank you.
Next, the Board of the Minnesota State Academies. And welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, board members, committee members. My name is Todd Susker. I've been in education now. This is my 30th year in education, 14 years as a teacher and 16 years as a school superintendent. And I'm very humbled and very honored to be part of the Minnesota Academy of the Deaf and the Minnesota Academy of the Blind board and be selected this past year to serve on that board.
Thank you. Superintendent, if you'd like to reflect on some of the key reasons as to what you want to accomplish and how you might go about doing that.
Sure. As an advocate for kids for many years, especially with the students that we serve at the academies, it has been I'm superintendent in Faribault right now, so I know the academies very well.
Yes.
So it's just a nice honor to be able to take time to serve the community and serve this school and to help these kids out as much as I can. The challenge that we're having, of course, is the kind dollars that were sent to us from the state of Minnesota to help us build a new dorm room, and that's our challenge right now. We have a $10 million project that we're working on, and that is to make sure that the dorm is very suitable for our kids, our population, and it's going to be a very positive adventure for us as we continue forward, along with the other challenges through curriculum and technology and some of those other pieces.
Okay, thank you. Senator Dahl.
Mr. Chair, and I also know Mr. Susker. For 35 years or so, he went to the same high school in Iowa, and his dad was my superintendent. But he's more than capable, and I know you've only recently been in Faribault, but I know he's been in Cannon Falls and other places. But tell me, I've visited the academies before. It's been many years. And I know that some of the challenges have been funding and just maintaining. What's the enrollment like, and has that been stable, and what do you see long-term for the academies? And I know how an important role they play in the community, but also for the state of Minnesota.
Thank you, Senator Dahl. And it's a nice opportunity to talk a little bit about the positive things that are happening at the academies. It's an outstanding program, number one, for these students, and we go statewide and hope that some of the kids that we see statewide will take the opportunity to come to our schools. The enrollment so far has dipped a little bit, but the expectation is that enrollment will stay steady. Right now, the number of students that we have and the ratio of teachers and the way the financing works, it actually works out quite well. The teacher-to-student ratio is right on target, and if we increase the number of students, we get a little bit more money, but not quite enough money to balance that ratio out. And of course, if we drop too many students in, we actually get the same amount of money approximately, but we we have too high of a or too low of a ratio for student teachers. So we're kind of right at a good number going forward. And the projections we will continue to work on. It's really hard to project the future, especially with this population, because we do recruit all over the state of Minnesota. But we're confident that the next few years are going to bring steady enrollment.
Thank you. And we have another nominee, I believe, Christopher Pepper. Is there anyone that can share information about Christopher Pepper for the record?
Well, I know Christopher just from our meetings that we've had this past year, and he's a very strong finance person, and he works for the Wells Fargo Bank, and he's already been a nice asset for our program down in Faribault. And the meetings that he's been to, he's been very involved. He wants to learn more about the instructional piece, and I've been very pleased with the work that he's put in so far.
Well, thank you for sharing that. Further comments or questions from the committee? If not, we'll proceed once we have a quorum, and thank you very much, Superintendent, for your service.
Thank you.
Finally, we have confirmations for the Board of Teaching. Is there anyone here from the Board of Teaching? Okay, welcome.
Good morning. My name is Joyce Bauman, and I am a 20-year educator. I currently teach kindergarten in the Ricori School District at Cold Spring Elementary.
Okay. Would you like to comment on why you serve on the board and what you hope to accomplish? There's been a lot of discussion in the news, of course, on challenges. We've had a number of legislative debates as well. And perhaps commenting about the licensure process would be timely.
I am passionate about quality teachers being in the classroom. That is what's going to make the difference for our Minnesota students and to allow them to be successful. And I'm really excited about serving on the board because it's an opportunity to help make sure that we have that quality that we need to be the leader in education that Minnesota is continue and help it to continue to be that leader. Also, a focus is making sure that we have quality teachers working with our underserved populations. And it's been really amazing experience to be part of the board and to see what has been happening to make progress in those areas and to make sure that a lot of the things that we're moving forward with, working with Wisconsin to make sure that it's easier for licensure candidates to come in to Minnesota and teach here and working with surrounding states. I think that it's a challenge because we want to uphold the standards that Minnesota has, and no other state really, there's very few states, I would say, that have the standards that Minnesota has, but yet to make sure that we are getting those teachers in the classroom. Another area that was a concern to me is working with teacher candidates and some of the struggles that they had with the skills testing that they had to go through to become teachers, the economic impact of that, and also just the stress. And there's been some positive movement that the board has had as a result of that, and hopefully we will continue to make that an easier process to get quality teachers into our classrooms.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you. Erin Doan, I'm the Executive Director of the Minnesota Board of Teaching. Jim Grabowska was not able to be with us this morning, so I'm happy to answer any questions or provide any information on his behalf.
Well, perhaps if you could give an overview of his qualifications.
Sure. Jim is a part of the MINSQ system. He is a world language teacher. I'm going to refer to his resume here to make sure that I'm not forgetting anything.
Mm-hmm.
He has training in specifically and leadership within the area of world language and English education. He is currently, and probably part of the reason for his absence today, a leader among the IFO board. in as far as professional organizations or participation, has worked with the Minnesota School Board Association. I know has worked very collaboratively with Minnesota Rural Education Association, as well as, and to from the materials you've seen, Modern Language Association, Midwest Association of Medievalists is also one of the probably the more interesting pieces of his background, and I'm sure he'd love to tell you all about that if he were here. I'll leave it at that. Certainly a very strong member of our board.
Comments or questions from the committee? Okay, well, we know you have a number of challenges ahead. We appreciate your service. We know that the nominations have been vetted through a number of processes to get to this point. I would expect once we have a quorum, we'll act on this with a recommendation for approval to the Senate. So members, we'll wait a while to see if we get a quorum, and we appreciate everyone's patience that came here, especially you know, recognizing you have other duties as well. But we'll probably go to some other items at this point unless there's a need, but you're welcome to stay if you want. I imagine we will entertain a positive motion if we do get a quorum. So thank you. And members, I know that you're aware that the conference committees are formed now for various budget bills, and I'm meeting with Representative Loon in an hour to, just to get an overview of the days ahead. I did send an email to conferees, but we'll keep everybody informed to the extent we know what's happening. It's our anticipation that we will meet tomorrow or Wednesday. That would presumably be after the adjournment of the last body. I'm not sure what the Senate or House calendar is for Tuesday and Wednesday. I just know we have taxes today. And generally, when we have the first meeting, we'll go through the various bills. The reviser will have the policy bill integrated with the analysis, and that'll all be laid out, and that was in place before it was even suggested because of the number of items that are same and similar, etc. Usually at that first meeting, after going through that overview, we'll try to proceed soon to same items that are similar, particularly those that are non-controversial, and then work our way forward. The biggest question that no one knows yet is, what is our budget target going to be for conference? And until we know that, it will be very premature for a lot of the items that we're talking about, given the hundreds of millions of dollars that there's a difference in. But nonetheless, we can delve into a number of same and similars, and I've got some ideas that I'm going to discuss with Representative Loon. I know she has some to get us off to a good start. So that's the conference committee update. Senator Pratt, did you have a question or a comment?
No, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Any other comments or questions? If not, what we'll do is, and I appreciate your patience, your indulgence, but we'll recess at the call of the chair, we'll get back to you. You can stay here. We'll hopefully get a status of the other three members that are presumably almost here. So the committee's in recess at the call. Thanks.
Eric, do you know that one fellow who's with U.S. Bank?
Education Committee will reconvene. We've had a short recess. We now have a quorum. And before us are confirmations for various nominees for four boards. We've had testimony from a number of the nominees and have had some background information presented on each of the nominees, particularly if a person wasn't able to make it here, a statement was referenced. An opportunity has been provided for questions, answers, comments. So at this point, we'll need to look at confirmations in a block on the agenda. And we have four different motions. But before we do that, I ask Senator Bonoff, who has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I apologize. I was late. I actually flew in this morning, and so got here as fast as I could. Mr. Chair, with regard to the two confirmations for the Board of Teaching, I understand that you've already, as a group, approved them and vote, but I do have a question for them.
Excuse me, Senator Bonoff, no, we haven't approved anything yet until we had a quorum.
So. And so I understand Mr. Grabowska is not here. Is Ms. Bauman here? If I could ask her a question, and if Ms. Doan, I see, is here, perhaps she could answer on behalf of Mr. Grabowska?
Yes, that's in order.
Thank you. So, Ms. Bauman, thank you for putting your name forward and accepting this. And if you've followed the discussions we've had during this session and the previous sessions, I've actually come before the Board of Teaching and been concerned about the Board of Teaching's, in my opinion, not following the directive to quickly have a strong path for alternatively licensed teachers, particularly from out of state. And I remember a couple of years back we asked candidates, where do you stand in alternative licensure? And they were pretty direct, but they weren't very positive. And so so we saw what that resulted in, I think, in the following sessions. So I am deeply committed to that we do have a robust alternative licensure procedure and process here in Minnesota, because I think it is an effective complement to the traditional teaching licensure. And so that's why I asked the question. And I would ask you where you stand on that. Are you do you have a position on it? Are you willing to make sure that we have both in the state of Minnesota?
Ms. Bauman, and she did reflect a bit on that topic, but
That I will I will answer that. One thing that the Board of Teaching does deal with that I think is directly related, and it kind of helps give some background to where I stand with it, is the community expert piece, where we do issue those licenses to individuals that don't have a traditional teaching license but can enter into teaching by showing that they have that four-year degree and then related experience. And I think that it is the one thing that I believe in, is that we need to look at each of those candidates, and not only do they have the experience, the background knowledge to teach a topic or a subject area, but also some pedagogical background. Do they know how to teach, and can they show that? And for Pathways to Alternative Licensure, I think if they have that background and can show that they understand how to teach, there's more. Just because I know math doesn't mean that I can be an effective math teacher. We need to see that somehow demonstrated through that application, whatever, however that is, if we end up going to a portfolio process, that type of thing. If they can demonstrate that, I certainly am supportive of that. And I think that that's the one thing that when we look at those community expert licenses, that our yay and nay on that is often based on, well, yes, they have this background, but have they ever applied it? Have they worked with children? You know, I teach kindergarten, so I often get the comment, well, what do you need to teach that, a first grade education? And people don't understand the complexity of really teaching a child to read and what is the background information and knowledge that's needed to do that. And just because you have that first grade education, that you've been through kindergarten and first grade, that you are prepared. So that's the piece that I look for personally. I'm not against it, but I just want to know that we are putting the best quality teachers in our classrooms in Minnesota.
Senator Bonoff and Senator Pratt.
Mr. Chair, I have a few follow-up. So, Mr. Chair, Ms. Bauman, I got that about the community expert, but I was actually talking about something different than that. I was more looking at, as you know, we have a very, at this point, robust and many different people as part of the Teach for America program, and they have a different path to licensure. Mm-hmm. They do a shortened student teaching stint, and then they work as a teacher of record for 2 years and have the classroom experience, the video, you know, and all of that. So where do you stand on that process?
As long as they are meeting the standards that Minnesota sets forward, I completely support that. But I just need to know that those standards are being met.
Mr. Chair, so when a teacher from Illinois is a Teach for America teacher who's been in the classroom for 2 years and they apply for a license in Minnesota, how will you view their candidacy?
If they have proven themselves as a teacher and have met those requirements, I, again, would be supportive.
Mr. Chair, so there was an effort to in this session's law to say that you had to meet, you know, certain student teaching, certain coursework that looked to me like it was one more attempt to put a barrier because they do their student teaching different and their the way they do their pedagogical training is different. So do I, and you don't have to be a yes to me. I can disagree with you and
nope.
We're okay, but
nope.
But are you committed to honoring their process as one that all different, the TFA approach to training?
Ms. Bellman?
Well, I think that we've already, as the board has moved forward with the approval of the TFA program that we have here in Minnesota, we've shown that we've been willing to work with and help strengthen that program and to really make sure that the candidates coming through that are meeting our standards in Minnesota. And I think there are things that I don't think we can say we'll compromise on. For example, candidates that come in without having had that human relations course work, that's something that we expect that they would do because we believe that that's important, that that's an important piece. And so I have a very open mind to those alternative pathways, but again, quality. That's what I'm going to always be. I want those quality educators in the classroom.
Thank you. Another question for Ms. Doan?
Yes, Sarah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Doan, can you tell me where Mr. Grabowska stands on this line of questioning?
Mr. Chair, Senator Bonoff, I think it would be wrong for me to speak, straight from his behalf because I don't know exactly how he would answer the question. What I do know, though, is what I have heard him testify to and speak about at the board table. He is a strong proponent of alternative pathways and definitely asks some of the deeper questions at the board table when talking about, what is the end game? What are we really looking for to measure quality? And we can find quality in different ways as long as we're looking at the same consistent pieces of training for every candidate. To Ms. Bauman's defense, I think that one of the tough pieces about the question as you posed it is that even in our partnership with Teach for America, as we've been working on bringing their programs into Minnesota, they would probably agree that their programs don't look the same in every state, and in some states have a stronger pedagogical component to their training than they do elsewhere. So it's a little tough to answer blanketly. I think the board has come a long way since 2010, 2011, as individual members and as an administrative body in saying, we're after the same end goal. There are different pathways to get there. We just want to make sure that we have the same ingredients in the recipe.
Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Bonoff, my questions are going to be very similar, Ms. Bauman. Not only looking at Teach for America, but also we've got experienced teachers moving into Minnesota, and they're finding it hard to get licensed. And I've used, Ms. Doan's heard this example many times, my mother who moved into the state with 14 years of experience struggled to get a teaching license and almost chose a different career. When I hear you talk about requirements, what I think I hear, and clarify if I'm wrong, are academic requirements versus experiential requirements. And how do you look at valuing that experience over the academic piece as a part of that alternative licensure?
Ms. Bowman.
I think, you know, it's a tough question. But I think that there has to be some parameters that we work within, some expectations that this would be the coursework that people bring forward. And again, it goes back to Minnesota maintaining those high standards that we have. Now, I think that that's not the end-all be-all either. And I, you know, my sister is a perfect example, and Ms. Stone has heard me talk about her, that she's teaching in Wisconsin and kind of fell victim of what has happened in that state and was looking at what would it take for her to be able to come to Minnesota and teach. And has her education necessarily met all the requirements? I haven't looked, you know, piece by piece if it has, but yet she carries with her 20-plus years of experience, and so probably is a proven educator. How do we know that for sure, that is a proven educator? And I think that that's how we have to be looking at it. Is there some other ways that we can be proving some of those things? Now, if she hasn't been effective during those 20 years, even though she has 20 years of experience, do we want to just blanket hand her that teaching license? So there has to be, if it's not, I mean, and not saying that coursework is always the measure either of whether they've been successful or not, but how do we know that? And I think that those are some things that the board needs to really look into and dig into. Is it something that they come with a recommendation from administrators that have supervised them before that, yes, that they have this number of years of experience and have been an effective educator in that system? I'm not sure what the answer is for that, but I think that it's something that we have to look at and explore more deeply.
Sir Pratt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And, you know, I look at Senator Clausen, and having served on a school board, I trust my administrators as well, those people who are supervising those teachers to tell me whether or not they're effective or not. And we've heard, you know, stories, and I know there's a lawsuit now that talks about this very problem. And what I'm hoping to hear, and I'm glad Senator Bonhoff opened up this line of questioning, is some sort of growth in this. Again, it just, and I think you touched on it, which was going to be my point, is I don't think that the academic resume makes an effective teacher. It doesn't make a high quality teacher. It maybe prepares someone coming out for their entry level job, but I think in most industries, and from what I've seen, both in my, you know, in my personal life, but also, you know, as a community leader in the schools, is it's those people with the experience who can make those connections that are really the most important, not what course you tick off on a resume. And Mr. Chair, I might just, typically in Senator Bonhoff's committee, when someone doesn't show up, we hold a separate hearing, and I think she's opened up an important line of questioning that maybe we only consider Ms. Bauman for confirmation and ask Mr. Grabowska to come back.
I would agree.
I'll ask for the committee guidance. I believe, you know, he had, that his resume was there. There was a number of, comments expressed, in behalf of him. If the majority of the committee, feels that it's, that a cross-examination is in order, we would have to respect that, but I would be willing to move ahead. We have several hands up. Senator Johnson, Dahl, Bonhoff.
Mr. Chair and members, in my view, if we do that, we have to ask everyone to come back here and respond, because listening to one person and not saying using the same criteria, I would be opposed to this.
Senator Dahl.
Mr. Chair, yes, more than half the candidates were not here today, and I don't think that our discussion should center about the merits of alternative teacher licensure. I think it really does depend on the candidates themselves. And I understand the need to be there, but and to ask those kind of questions, but I would be opposed to holding a separate hearing for Mr. Grabowska.
Senator Bonner.
Mr. Chair, well, what Senator Pratt is saying is true. I don't allow in my committee confirmations for people who aren't here, and so we do go back and back, and, you know, it's that, and it's because these positions are very important, and so I didn't know, you know, how many weren't here, but I would say that if somebody wants to be confirmed, they should come before the committee to be confirmed. So I would support what Senator Pratt is saying. And with regard to the Board of Teaching, you know, I believe that you give your time, your dedication, your heart and soul to this because you believe in the importance of teachers. And I know that, or you wouldn't be putting your name forward. You wouldn't be having your career do this. And so I ask the questions from the vantage point of, I would like to see the Board of Teaching articulate its mission as a support for teachers and a mentorship branch in a much stronger way than to have a reputation of being a fence to high-quality teachers being in the classroom. And I'm not saying that you are a fence, but I think there is a perception of that. And so I raise it just as a way, perhaps, of thinking of a different way to articulate when talking about these subjects, that it's not about ensuring quality before somebody walks in the door, but providing every teacher on the ground with a battery of everything needed to be successful. But, you know, I do the will of the committee, so I would agree with Senator Pratt, but obviously, Mr. Chair, it's your committee, and I leave it to you.
Sarah Kiffmeyer.
Oh, Mr. Chair, I have a question, but if you want to take action on the matter first, that's before us. I'm not sure if you want to. If not, I'll proceed to my question.
Perhaps with questions of Ms. Bauman, if we could direct them to her at this point.
Sure.
And then after we're done with her, I think the first three groups for, you know, the State Academy, you know, Faribault and others, I don't think there was anything controversial on any of those items, and maybe we could, you know, take actions on each of those. You know, there was explanation as to why, you know, most of these people were, you know, in greater Minnesota, you know, in the classroom. We had a superintendent that came in, and et cetera, but I'll suggest that we take action on those first three sets and then further discuss the Board of Teaching after we've taken action on that. So for further questions of Ms. Bauman, Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I'm really surprised, and I want to commend you for being here. I know that this can be unpleasant, but it is very important, and I think it's one of the responsibilities of anybody who seeks these positions to be here for something like this, and want to commend you for that. And I'm really surprised that the others, so many are not. I would never have expected that. In regards to the alternative teacher pathway, what's really important to me is that when the legislature passes a law and requires, whether it's taxes, you know, you name it, that the responsibility of the board is to comply with the law and to follow the law. Because that is above the Board of Teaching and any member's opinion in the Board of Teaching. The job is, once passed, setting that policy, procedure, whatever it is, to comply with that and to follow that. And sometimes that may be difficult, but that's a part of making a decision to be on a board. Once there, that is the duty. So I think for me, it's a real critical question of, will you follow the law or will you put your opinion or personal feelings above what the law requires you to do as a member of the Board of Teaching?
If
Ms. Bowman.
If there is a situation like that, of course, the law would be followed. Within any decision that's made, I mean, I see it right here, there is personal opinion that comes to it, but then at some point you need to say, this is what is the expectation, this is what we do need to do. I think the beauty of the board is that there is a lot of different perspectives, you know, since I've had the opportunity to sit there, that I've seen, you know, you have your school board members, your community members, your administrators, teachers, and I think that we probably come to a stronger decision And because all of those varied views are shared, but in the end, yes, I mean, the law is the law.
And Mr. Chair, just to follow up on
that. Yes, Senator Kilmer.
I think also in a comment that I heard here was evaluating teachers from out of state and not just their academics or their experience, but also, you know, sounded like kind of like outcomes. How successful were they? I thought that was interesting in light of the fact that so often in Minnesota, the teachers as a group don't like outcomes being used as part of their teaching evaluation. I thought that was an interesting dichotomy between your comments about the board and be concerned about those from out of state, and yet I don't know how much that is a standard within the state in regards to including outcomes also in a variety of areas in regards to teaching. But I think that is important. I would agree that it is important, but I think it should be applied not just to out of state, but to everybody, that those things are important. So just a comment.
Thank you, Ms. Bowman. Any further questions for Ms. Bowman? Senator Torres-Ray.
Mr. Chair, I don't have a question, but I just wanted to comment on the process. I do agree with Senator Bonoff on the issue of having the candidates here. It is almost unfair just to have one candidate responding to all the questions and, you know, do all of the responses. I also think that there is a, you know, we recently had in my committee the appointment of the Met Council, and we had, you know, 17 people we had to call. And it was very difficult to find a room, the time, and 17 people coming, and they all presented. And I think it was a very good process for us. I think people got a sense of who they are and what they present. Mm-hmm. And that is of tremendous value, in my opinion. So not having one of the two seems inappropriate to me as well.
And Senator Torres-Ray, given the committee's intent and the legislative reflection, et cetera, I would agree in that for Board of Teaching, given the concern that we should entertain a motion for Joyce Bowman at this time. And perhaps we, if the committee is ready, I would entertain a motion for the confirmation for the Board of Teaching for Joyce Bowman, if someone would like to make that motion.
I'll make that motion.
On Senator Pratt's motion. Further discussion? If not, all in favor, indicate aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carried. Congratulations, Ms. Baum.
Thank you.
And I will ask that staff contact Mr. Grabowska and get a time that is going to work. We understand the number of conflicts that we might have at any given time, but I want to be as respectful as possible of the concerns that are being raised, so we'll hold on that, and it's not to be cast as an aspersion on his candidacy, but willingness to continue additional dialogue. Now, members, I like Senator Bonoff's expectation of having people, you know, appear, and that's why I did that and agree with that for the Board of Teaching. It would be nice for the others that weren't able to make it. We did have others that were here. I believe, though, that we might be comfortable to act on the nominees for each of those other boards, but if you felt strongly that we should have the others, we could. The Board of Teaching is the one where there's been, you know, the legislative auditor, et cetera, you know, a lot of the discussion, the legislative. The other ones, I would say, don't have the controversy or conflict. And, you know, reasons were given why the others couldn't be here. You know, the one gentleman at Christopher Pepper at Wells Fargo, I believe, I'm sure we could get him here. You know, there's others. But my suggestion, unless you want to see each of the others that couldn't make it with excused reasons, but the recommendation would be that we act on the remaining people. But would ask for any guidance on that. Senator Johnson.
Mr. Chair, certainly respect what you put forward, but it would seem to me that since we are going to have another meeting on confirmations, that we could allow for their opportunity to come at that next meeting whenever it's proposed to meet the schedule, I would say, with Mr. Grabowska for sure because of the special interest there. But it would seem to me to be more, I'd feel more comfortable if we asked the others to come at that time that weren't here, but to know that we probably would confirm them if they didn't come. But by that time, we may be able to get more information from them.
Okay. Thank you. Senator Dahl.
Mr. Chair, I just think that we should move on and confirm the people for the PERPICH, the Board of the School Administrators, and the academies. I know how busy these folks are. And matter of fact, no one had any questions, the six or seven of us, for anyone that actually testified here. We asked them to reflect. I'm going to respect their time and our time as well, and I think that we can certainly go ahead and confirm the people that are already listed in those other boards.
Additional guidance. Senator Kiffmeyer.
Well, I think the fact that they're not here, of course, questions are difficult to ask of somebody who's not here. I think the other thing is if you act upon those that did come, and you move them forward and then act on the others at the next meeting. If they still have a really good reason why, given a second opportunity, they cannot be here, but the committee still wants to confirm them. But I think it also sends, you know, a sense that those who can be moved forward and then we can act on the others, like Senator Johnson mentioned.
Members, and that's what we'll do. We're going to entertain motions for those that did appear, and we'll ask staff to work with those that did not make it. There's bipartisan interest in additional discussion, and I get that. Senator Claussen.
Thank you. Just to follow up on Senator Dahl's comments, I think we need to take our responsibility then a little bit more seriously. It's embarrassing to some degree when people we have here for confirmation and then there's no questions, no comments. And I think we need to take our responsibility, as I said, more serious as well.
Well, thank you, Senator Claussen. And, you know, we had three or four of us that we're here, and you know, we'll remind everyone of that next time and make sure everybody is here promptly. So, and we did have sufficient notice, I believe, before, but we'll move ahead. Senator Bonoff, and then we're going to entertain motions.
Mr. Chair and Senator Claussen, I agree, and so I personally take accountability for not being here on time, and I will be on time next time so that I can ask my questions appropriate.
Okay. All those comments are duly noted, and we will hope in the next couple of weeks to get a time for the confirmations, and I would suggest probably Monday morning, especially for those of you in greater Minnesota coming in. It may not be the best time, nor for those greater Minnesota applicants. So we'll hopefully get a time that's convenient.
And, Mr. Chair, if you could just arrange for the traffic to flow well. It took me an hour and a half this
we'll
morning.
Do.
An hour, 45 minutes. So I know you're a very powerful chairman.
No. Okay, for the Senator Dahl moves that for the board of the PERPICH Center for the Arts Education that we recommend the confirmation of Michael Neighbors. Further discussion? All in favor indicate aye.
Aye.
Carried. Senator Claussen moves that for the Board of School Administrators, the confirmation of Robert Meyer and Tracine Asbury. Further discussion? Not all in favor indicate aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carried. Senator Pratt moves the confirmation for the Board of the State Academies, Todd Susker. Further discussion? Not all in favor indicate aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carried. So those are the confirmations we have at this time, and we'll look at a schedule to have us meet within the next several days, and staff will put the notice out, and hopefully we'll all respect that as well for that meeting. Is there any other items? Yes, Senator Johnson.
Mr. Chair, would it be all right if we keep our folders all in here? Because we probably won't be using these folders anymore.
Yes. Put the information regarding the confirmations in your save packet, and staff will collect the folders, and they'll be in the committee cart next time we meet. Earlier when we had recess, I gave a quick conference committee update, and I mentioned I'm meeting with Representative Loon soon, in about 20 minutes, and we hope that we'll have our first committee meeting tomorrow or no later than Wednesday. The side-by-sides that show their provisions and the provisions of our policy, as well as the finance, the reviser is preparing that, working with staff and Ms. Butler, Mr. Arneson informed me that probably by the end of the day, this will be posted for the public to see that. And that's all I know. Until we get the budget targets, it's going to be a little bit difficult, but at least focusing on the non-controversial sames should not be a problem.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator Bonoff.
Do we have conferees appointed now?
Yes.
Could you share? I'm sorry, I missed that.
Yes, Senator Johnson, Dahl, Pratt, and Stumpf.
Great.
And for the House, you know who they are then. Representative Loon, Erickson, Detmer, I believe, Krisha, and who? Representative Bennett? Okay, yes. So that would be the five.
No,
not Peters. Peters. Oh, is it Peterson, Raz? Representative Raz? Yeah, yes. So anyway, we'll be. Yes. But anyway, we're doing our best to move along, and we'll. And if you're not a member of the conference committee, we're still going to be asking for your guidance on a number of the provisions, particularly those that you've been involved in as we further advance this. So any further comments or questions on where we're at? Good. Not the committee's adjourned.